This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, TK.
Hey, Cheryl. Hey.
Hey, Satan. Hey.
Hey. Or it's, hey, Satan. Hey.
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 We cover a lot of stuff today.
You say that every week, by the way.
I do. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop saying it. Although we do,
Yeah, we do cover a lot.
Talk about Tallahassee.
Yeah, we go back to Florida.
Somehow we talk about balls, but that's not, nobody wants to keep listening to hear that.
I feel like you always bring those up.
Do I, or does the world? The world brings them up, and then I say, yeah, I see it.
I see you, balls.
Like in this documentary, they bring it up. I'm not bringing it up. Uh-huh. But I see it, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I see you.
I see you. I see you, balls. Well, should we get into it?
Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, ladies and jerks. Welcome to Hail Satan.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story. All right. Hey, Tig.
Hey, Cheryl.
What's up, Buttercup? Hey, girl. Hey.
I'm at my cousin's house. I'm in Mississippi.
That's nice. Hot?
It's bearable. It's like 88. Is that a lot?
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. I guess I'm thinking of the Mississippi days where it's 100 and something with humidity, whereas this feels completely bearable, and I've just been getting in the pool, and you know,
a cool 88.
Yeah, a cool 88.
You know, when I visit my sister, Dr. Becky Hines, in Florida, she keeps her quote unquote air conditioning on like 80, which is roasting, and in the middle of the night I have to wait till she goes to sleep, and then I go and I turn it down.
Well, normally people in the South though have it really cold. Blasting. Like my cousin's house is so
cold. Yeah, that is the thing. You have to wear a sweater inside.
Yeah,
it's weird.
I was sleeping upstairs and the AC wasn't working upstairs. And so this morning he said, oh, I got up and I put fresh sheets on the downstairs bedroom. So just sleep down there because the AC is working down there. And I was kind of okay with just the ceiling fan upstairs. It's going to be interesting to see what's going to be best between like 50 degree air conditioning versus the ceiling fan
at 88.
Well, at night it's cool.
It cools down to 87.
It's a chilling 87.
Okay, Tig.
Well, wait, what are you up to?
I just moved houses.
You moved another house?
I'm just sitting around in a room full of boxes. Right now.
I feel like you've been in rooms full of boxes for weeks.
Yeah, because you had to pack and then you had to move and now you have to unpack. Anyway, I can't find my hairbrush or a comb. So there's that.
I haven't brushed my hair in decades. I just run my fingers through it.
Yeah. And hey, hashtag hot tig. I was going to say pound hot tig. But people don't really call it a pound sign anymore, do they?
No. Not at all. Well, unless I'm realizing people say pound when you're on a phone or like a conference call, it says press pound.
Right, but I don't think the younger generation, like I don't know if my daughter knows what pound means.
Do you think you're going to ever tell her?
No.
Okay.
It's going to be my little secret.
Okay.
Today, mm-hmm. I'm so interested to talk to you about this one. Today we are talking about Hail Satan. Actually, yeah. It's Hail Satan because there's a question mark in the title.
So right.
It's Hail Satan, right? It's a 2019 documentary directed by Penny Lane. The film profiles the activities of the American-based Satanic Temple, which include a mix of satanic rituals, cultural satire, and political activism. The documentary features interviews with various members of the temple, including its
You can do it.
Including its
We could do a part two.
How about I do this? Including its sparkling co-founder, Lucian Greaves. Hail Satan premiered at Sundance and is available to watch on Hulu. Can you say that word?
Enigmatic.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Why didn't you just say it?
Well, because it's fun to listen to you
struggle.
Try. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you I mean, I know that this isn't really for us to say, but did you like this documentary?
I love the idea behind the documentary. Mm. And I liked the documentary.
Yeah.
I felt like there was a lot of it that I felt, oh, it feels familiar. I know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I get what they're doing. But I really enjoyed the idea of it. And I really enjoyed the ending.
Okay, well.
Okay, are in the cup still or in
beans
the can.
Beans are still in
did
the cup.
How did you feel?
No, I did. I really liked it, and it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And
mm-hmm.
Of course, I loved that it starts out in Tallahassee, Florida.
Why wouldn't it?
Hey, Tallahassee. Hey.
It's
my hometown, capital of Florida. Yes.
And Florida is the hometown for documentary films.
A lot of crazy
good
schniz
Lord.
Goes down in Florida.
So what did you think the documentary was going to be? What did you think it was going to be?
Well, I guess I really didn't understand Satanism. And I didn't, although this, I mean, they do call themselves modern Satanists. So mm-hmm. I feel like I learned a lot. Honestly, I always thought that Satanists were like, I don't know. You know, people that wear the hoods and
people that dress like those people.
that dress
a lot like the people in the documentary.
Those people, but like worship the devil?
Well, I'm sure there are those
yes.
people.
Yeah.
I mean, those people do exist. And
yes.
But this is more of a political and
cultural statement, right?
Yeah.
So the film opens, like I said, in Tallahassee, Florida. Beautiful, mm-hmm. picturesque Tallahassee, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening during the time when the governor was Rick Scott,
mm-hmm.
and he was really pushing to have prayer in public school.
Mm-hmm.
So Rick Scott was basically saying, hey, Florida, everybody's going to pray.
Hey, Florida, hey.
Hey, Florida, hey. Everyone's going to pray to God when they go to school.
Before they start their reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Yeah. And then, so a lot of people do not want to be praying during school. They want to keep it separate.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't have the same beliefs as Rick Scott. They may not want to be praying to God.
They might not be Christian.
They might not be Christian.
Or anything. They might not be anything.
Right.
They might be atheist or agnostic.
Yes. Yes. So in comes the Satanic Temple. So this guy, Lucian Greaves, he's quite a character, isn't he?
He really is. And he has this one particular eyeball that is perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just perfect looking for if you have any fear around what this guy might be standing for or working towards or any misunderstanding, his one eyeball is just perfect for his face and cause. Wouldn't you say? Because it's like, oh my God, like if you are at all scared, I'm sure there's so many people that got really spooked by his eyeball.
Yeah, because Lucian is a very good-looking guy. How old is he? Like in his late 30s, maybe?
Wow, you already spilled the beans on who you're attracted to?
I'm just saying. And then he has clearly what appears to be a glass eye.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if his eyes are blue. I'm going to say blue.
Well, I'd think that you would pay attention to that.
I know.
You clearly have a thing for him.
Well, you can clearly tell that one of the eyes is...
different than the other?
Different than the other.
Yeah.
And yeah, so if you ran into Lucian, you know, at the grocery store, you wouldn't think twice.
No.
But if you found out that he was the head of of the Satanic Temple...
And you had any fears around that, his eyeball wouldn't help put you at ease.
Oh, and he looked you in the eye and started talking. You would be like, oh, my God, what's going on? And
right.
Somehow it would scare you.
It would be like if somebody happened to be in his position and have fangs.
Or if they were the head of, like, the vampire cult and they had fangs. You would be like,
He has fangs.
He has fangs. So,
but if you're not scared
right.
of what he's talking about, or you're amused by it or interested, you're like, oh my God, this is incredible that this guy has this eyeball that's not like the other.
Yeah, because it's sort of beautiful and interesting, and you're like, whoa, interesting. Solution decides to have a press conference at the state capitol in Florida outside because he's saying, well, if you're going to talk about God in school, then you should also talk about Satan and give us a chance, give us some equal time.
Right.
So, I mean, Tallahassee, growing up in Tallahassee, it's a pretty conservative town.
Yes.
There are a lot of pleated khakis and, you know, polo shirts, and everybody's seems to be on their best behavior most of the time. So for these guys,
their best Christian behavior.
Yeah, in their devil horns and their capes.
And their glass eyes.
It was really something to see. You want to hear a little clip of somebody yelling to one of the guys at the press conference?
Yes, please.
Okay.
We honor Governor Rick Scott. Hail Satan, Rick, for providing us this opportunity to make the satanic cause clear and make our presence known. And I believe it, and I'm very excited about it.
A satanic temple fully supports Florida Governor Rick Scott, who has been pushing for prayer in public schools.
Jesus Christ became my savior at a very young age.
So what's interesting about the satanic temple is that they were saying they support Rick Scott and they think what he's doing is great. And if he's doing it for God, then do it
My
for
gosh.
Satan. So by the way, this wasn't a huge, there wasn't a huge amount of a lot of people that showed up for this, right? It was just like, it was a handful.
Sure.
But it got national coverage because they did a great job, and they had a banner that said, "Hail Satan."
They did a good job, and they had a banner that said, "Hail Satan."
It said, "Hail Satan, hail Rick Scott." So it got the news attention because people were saying, "Oh, is Rick Scott a Satanist? Are you guys, what's happening? Are you supporting Rick Scott?" And they're like, "Yes, we're supporting Rick Scott."
Yeah, it was really, really well done, the execution of everything.
Yeah, and then they started to pick up steam, right? The Satanic Temple, because they started to appeal to people who felt like, a lot of people, I think, and tell me if you got this too, who felt like they grew up in a religious family, religious atmosphere, whatever that was. And then as they got older, they realized, oh, this religion does not support my beliefs.
Right.
So you started having people who were gay, who were atheists, who, you know, whatever that was that didn't agree with their religion. And the Satanic Temple started to attract these people.
Yeah, it's kind of like a misfit toys.
It was a land of misfit toys.
Yeah. Yeah.
But everything they were talking about, everything that they were doing, it was all nonviolent by any means. They were not mean-spirited to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you would see some of the footage here, and they would show up to protest or something, and then you'd see some of the Christians show up and really weren't very nice.
No, not very nice.
Really mean, horrible things.
Yeah, you saw the fear. There's such a cartoon element that the devil, devil, you know?
Right.
And when people really, really believe in that and believe in an actual pitchfork devil, you know, they can't see straight. Like it
pushes their button. It's like, don't you dare bring the devil around me.
Right.
It's odd, isn't it?
It's fascinating. Really it feels almost childish, I think.
Yeah.
The devil element.
Well, right, because you think of the cartoon, you think of the little cartoon with the red devil with the, and you think of like the little angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder. You know, that's fine. It's symbolic, right? Like, don't do bad things. Or the little man with the horn is going to poke
two
him in
horns,
the ass.
Two horns, Cheryl.
The little
He's not a unicorn.
The little man with the two horns is going to poke you in the ass with a hot pitchfork.
And you're going to go to hell where it's going to be, ow, 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 real hot. Real hot.
Hot coals.
Hot, hot coals. Hot coals for the rest of your life, for eternity.
It is hard to understand what's so terrifying about that sort of symbolism.
It doesn't scare you to burn your feet for an eternity and to just bake in an oven?
Oh. I mean, I don't have a fear of it, no.
Wow, lucky you. We're going to take a break, and we will be back to discuss why Cheryl isn't scared of baking in an oven in hell for an eternity.
If you like a good murder mystery story, you'll love June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game where Detective June Parker unravels the mystery of her sister's death. Travel back to the beautifully illustrated 20s, find clues, discover hidden objects, and watch the story unfold with new chapters released weekly. Put your detective skills to the test. Download June's Journey on Android or iOS, or play online via Facebook games.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we are back.
Are you scared of baking in hoven?
I'm scared of hovens. I think when I was little, which is odd because I certainly didn't grow up in, I mean, my family was Catholic, but yeah. I didn't hear anyone ever talk about God.
Oh, that's a different kind of Catholicism.
Yeah. There was church sometimes, and then there was a point where my brother and I were like, we're out. And there wasn't really pushback.
Yeah.
You know, it just was real loosey-goosey.
We lived right next to the church when I was growing up, and we would go to church, although my dad didn't go, and then after church, the priest would come over and drink beer and watch football with my dad.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a weird Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know where my fear of burning in hell for an eternity came from, because...
Oh, do you have a fear of it?
When I was little, I would picture hell and the devil and burning forever, and I don't know where that's what I'm saying, is I don't know where that came from, because that's not part of my upbringing.
Well, I mean, it must have come from church, right? Because...
I guess so.
Yeah.
I feel like the positive that religion brought into my life was just as life should be, and that's the select good positive people that I found to be exceptional examples in the world. And if they were tied to religion somehow, then that's great. But I would say in general it wasn't a positive, but I don't know.
Well, everything you just said sounded very positive.
In what way?
Well, you just said that, you know, this is how I heard it. Mm-hmm. People that have inspired you in your lifetime.
You hear what you want to hear.
you look to them, and if they were inspired by religion, then you understand that and take note of it and realize that there's clearly really positive things that come from it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you said?
I think so. I wasn't really listening to myself, but I it's just fascinating because I did have a fear of, I used to think like, oh gosh, if I end up in hell, how am I going to manage standing there and being in that sort of heat forever? It just sounded really
so
rough.
Uncomfortable.
Oh my
so
gosh.
So uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I know, it does make it sound like you have to stand the whole time.
Yeah, it's not like you're sitting on a hell couch.
You're not sitting on a hot couch.
No, you're standing on hot coals.
Flames.
You're in an oven, essentially, for an eternity.
Yeah.
And also, why wouldn't this hot thing just burn you up?
Yeah, I don't know.
But I guess because it's your spirit, you know, your spirit is burning. But
then why does your spirit calculate temperature?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's some holes in this story or theory or whatever it is.
Yes. So the one thing that the Satanic Temple did that I thought went pretty far, when the Westboro Baptist Church, they went to counter protest the Westboro Baptist Church. And there's a guy, Fred Phelps, and he was really preaching about being homosexual and what a sin it
that
was.
That always comes up.
Yes, and how, I guess, probably burn in hell for that.
By the way, one of my cousins down here in Mississippi married me and Stephanie, and he was part of the Catholic Church. He got kicked out of the Catholic Church.
Because of that?
Yeah, but he joined. But he said he knew it was probably going to happen. But he said it was worth it.
That's amazing. And by the way, it goes back to all of this, what we're talking about, right? Because it's like you would think that religion Catholicism, whatever it is, would be when they're saying God loves everyone. God loves everyone except you guys.
Well, that's what my assistant was down here, and we were having lunch with a couple of my cousins and one of them that married us. And he is a religious person, obviously. But, you know, when my assistant was saying, like, oh my gosh, you got kicked out of the church? And he said, yeah, he said, I knew it, but it was worth it. And he said, it was my understanding that everybody was welcome to the table, you know, to God's table. And,
yeah.
And he said, and some people don't take that to heart, and he does.
Yeah, it's a strange concept.
Yeah.
God loves everybody, but not everybody. Yeah.
But I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Well, okay, so this is one of the bad things that they did.
Yes, yeah.
So they're very mad at Fred Phelps.
Yes.
So they went to her grave site. His mother's grave site.
Yeah.
And
you say it, I'm not going to.
I know. Well, then he would stand over.
Cheryl, why are you laughing?
Because it's so ridiculous. He would stand over her gravestone, and then he would have a gay couple kissing, and then he would say that because of this, his mother would be a lesbian in her afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
And people went nutballs. How dare you make Fred Phelps' mother into a lesbian in her afterlife?
It was just... And just that he has that power to... That's what decides it.
And that people are so upset about it.
People are so dumb. It's astounding.
Yeah.
First of all, to do that sort of nonsense over somebody's grave and then proclaim that that's what makes somebody gay in the afterlife. And then the dummies that are like, how dare you? You know, it's...
That you just gave those people the power to make your mother gay in her afterlife.
Right.
It's just all of it. All of them are ridiculous.
All of it is so ridiculous.
And then, okay, this is the worst part.
Mm-hmm.
That Lucian put his balls on her grave. That was unnecessary. It was unnecessary. No, that was the only thing.
That's your opinion. He clearly felt it was necessary.
He felt it was. Well, you know, I mean, I can understand why he's upset and mad.
And how would you express that? Would you take your bra off?
And just set my little boobies up on the gravestone? Take that,
world. They're outraged. I feel like there'd be less of a
outrage.
Outrage. It is funny because I do feel like if a woman did that versus a man, it would be less offensive.
Yeah.
It would be like, oh, put your shirt on.
Let me take a look at that. Okay, put your shirt on. But like, you know, balls out, people are like,
that is
the testicles, like, away from me.
Well, you felt that way.
Well, I mean, I don't know how many people think testicles are attractive.
I think like 7.
There's 7 people total. Whereas I think a lot of people think breasts are attractive. But testicles, like, you're really not seeing just, you don't walk into somebody's house and go, oh, look at the statue of the 2 testicles.
Yeah.
But you do see, you know, you'll walk in and say, oh, look at the statue of the naked lady from the waist up with no head.
Mm-hmm. In someone's house?
In people's homes.
Yeah.
Well, even at the museums, you don't see a close-up of just testicles.
I know, but sometimes they do crotch shots on the statues. Sometimes they'll mold a.
But it's not. They're not detailed. I mean, it's just like, here's a rough outline of 2 balls and your peen. Okay, and let's take a break.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, we're back. And I feel like in a moment like that, it should be let's give people a break. Not let's take a break. It should
be
okay,
Cheryl. Let's give people a break from this.
Yeah, let's give people a break and we'll be right back.
Your earballs need a break.
Yeah. But I agree, that was a bit much, you know.
The ball's out.
Yeah, I was fine with turning his mother gay in the afterlife.
Yeah.
But
the ball, he's just clearly, he's...
It's almost like he's a Satan worshiper.
And by the way, I love the commitment of, not all of them, but a lot of the worshipers really have... I mean, they double down on their piercings, on their horn wearing, on
their black lipstick.
Black lipstick.
Their glass eyes.
You think he got it just to...
I would not put it past our Lucian.
You think he got it just to make people a little off kilt when
maybe
they
the
see
devil poked his eye out.
Oh.
Should we give people a break?
No, we just gave him a break. Okay, but would you like to hear Lucian explain Satanism to Megyn Kelly?
Yes, please.
Remember Megyn Kelly back on Fox, back on the day?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
We will begin with Lucian. All right, Lucian. So is it like Lucian and Lucifer? Is that why you're called that?
Sure, as you like.
Oh. Well, that's not as you like. I don't, like, is that your birth name?
No, it's not.
Okay. So... what is it that first drew you to the Satanic Temple?
Well, I helped co-found the Satanic Temple.
Why?
Why? Because it is an embodiment of my deeply held beliefs, and I think there's a distinct need for a counterbalance against the dominant religious privilege in America today.
What are the deeply held beliefs that drew you to the Satanic Temple?
She wanted to say it again.
Essentially, we view... Satan as a symbolic embodiment of the ultimate rebel against tyranny.
I just love Megyn Kelly's face.
Yeah.
Where she's like, huh. So, tell us about Satan.
Well, and you know she was probably expecting a much different answer.
Oh, she could not wait for him to talk about the little guy with the pitchfork running around with the
burning in
flames.
Hell for an eternity.
Yeah, but when he articulates it as a counterbalance of the religion that the masses is enforcing at all times, it's like it's really hard to...
You can't argue with it.
You can't argue with it.
I mean, like, you can, and people will, and people do. But if you're being completely realistic and hearing... the argument and understanding what their point of view is. It's like, you can't.
And that they're using it as a symbol. And I think they really had the media going, the Satanic Temple, because the media, they couldn't figure out if it was a joke or if it was political.
Well, yeah, that's like, what's his name from Fox? That when he said, you know, I can sniff out a prank.
Right. Somebody who just wants attention.
Yeah.
To try to get news attention.
Right. And it's clearly...
And he's like, I'm not falling for it.
His sniffer's off.
Meanwhile, the guy is sitting there on his show. Yeah. Oh, I'm not falling for this. Go ahead, Lucian.
Yeah. I'm all ears, Lucian. Go on.
But so a lot of this film, it takes place in Oklahoma State, at the state capitol, because they have a big statue of the Ten Commandments.
However you want to say it.
And the Satanic Temple, Lucian especially, feels like it should not be up at the state capitol. Mm-hmm. This is a very religious statue.
Yes.
And if they're going to leave that up, then they need to have their own statue of Satan. And there are some real fun scenes with Lucian at like a community meeting, showing them the layout for the Satan statue that they're going to build and how big it is. And now they have to do all of these voting procedures to see if this is even possible. Mm-hmm. Is it okay? Is it not okay? You know, which I appreciate it. I appreciate it about the Satanic Temple because they're going through all the channels. Yeah,
it's all legit.
They're
law abiding.
They're showing up in their black eyeshadow and they're having serious talks with the guys in the khaki pants.
Yeah, with their horns poking out of their heads.
With their horns poking out. And so they decided to move forward with making this statue.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to have somebody, like, get a real person, like, cover themselves in
whatever,
like a plaster, so they could make a mold. Right. Have you ever had that done to you?
Yes, I was aged on One Mississippi to be an elderly version of myself.
And did they do your whole face?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did it once for Suburgatory, and I had to, it was like a special effects house.
Uh-huh.
And like when you walk in, there's just like an arm.
Yeah.
And there are like body parts everywhere.
Right.
Was that the same place, do you think, that you
went to? No, I did it in my trailer.
Oh, okay. Well, I had to do it after I shot all day. So it was at night.
Oh, my gosh.
In the valley, in the warehouse with all the body parts. And they covered my whole head.
Yeah.
What do they put on it? Like a plaster thing.
Yeah.
And then they put little holes. Straws up your nose.
Uh-huh.
And then you just sit, you know, they cover your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They covered your mouth and you just have the nose holes. And then they're like, okay, well, we're going to leave you alone.
We'll be back in a bit.
And I was, the whole time, I was so worried. My biggest fear was there's going to be an earthquake. Those guys are not coming back to get me.
Right.
I'm going to have to walk out in Burbank with my head covered in this thing with a cape on with straws coming out of my nose. Like, I won't be able to see. I just started really getting myself I just kept having to call myself.
It was claustrophobic. Like,
oh, my God. Mm-hmm. It's so claustrophobic. And you don't know where you are. Nobody's sitting next to you. I mean, I should have brought a friend. I don't know. I should have brought you, Tig.
Yeah.
I don't know who wants to sit next to you watching your plaster dry.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have wanted to.
I mean, nobody wants that job. Who wants to just sit there?
You call me and you're like, hey, I have to have plaster dry on my face. And I just have straws coming out of my nostrils. Will you come hang out? I can't even talk. But will you watch me in case an earthquake? Hits.
Well, the guy said that he said, and he didn't name names, but he said there was a huge action hero. Maybe it was you, but I think it was a guy. A huge action hero who had to do this, and he insisted on bringing somebody and holding their hand the whole time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand it, but how about that person who has to sit there and hold? Hopefully they got paid.
It would have to be an assistant, right?
I don't know if my assistant would want
your
that
no.
Job. Not my
no.
My dear Gabby would not be.
I wouldn't even want it.
I think she'd rather pay somebody to come and do it.
That reminds me, my friend Steph, when she had her first PA job in LA.
But this is not your wife.
No, it's my friend. When she had her first PA job in LA, she hired her own PA under her to do certain jobs that she didn't want to do.
Oh my God, I love it so much.
Yeah. And then she wrote some article about her experience of being a PA that hires her own PA.
I wish I would have thought of that, because I was definitely, you know, I had some moments when I was a assistant.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, let's wind it. Okay, so they make the...
They all went to hell.
I do like at one point, somebody shouted out to one of the Satanists, when somebody at the protest, and said, you're going to hell. And he said, oh, yes, and I look forward to it. Mm-hmm. So I guess when you take away someone's power, mm-hmm. I'm sure it's infuriating. You tell someone to go to hell and they're like, I can't wait.
I was raised, my mother told me to tell everyone to go to hell that had a problem with me. And so that was kind of like what was instilled in my personality.
You mean to verbally say?
Yeah. Like if somebody just had a problem with what I was doing, she was like, oh, just tell them to go to hell. Tell everyone to go to hell that has a problem with you. So I was like, all right. So anyway, when I was speaking at her funeral, there was a priest standing there, and I really wanted to talk about how my mother would tell me to tell everyone to go to hell that had a problem with me. And I was thinking, you know, here I am at her funeral, and here's this priest standing next to me, and it was a priest in Mississippi. I didn't know him. It wasn't like the family priest or anything.
Yeah.
And I just kept thinking, God, I really want to talk about this, but I just don't know if it's appropriate. Oh. And then I heard in my head my mother say, well, if the priest has a problem with it, he can go to hell too. And so...
So you walked right up to that priest and you said...
No, but I did talk about how my mother told me to tell everyone to go to hell. And I also verbalized the whole thought process that I had. And how I was fearful of talking about this, and how I was concerned what the priest would think. And then I thought my mother would say, tell him to go to hell too.
So I
talked about that. He laughed.
Oh.
He laughed.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And I felt like I made my mother proud in that moment.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
All right. I don't think I've ever told anybody to go to hell.
Well, I don't really tell people. My mother used to tell everyone
to
go to hell. My mother would actually
Your mother would say
She
it.
Would actually say it.
You can go to hell.
Well, it's a terrible impression of my mother, but
well,
she did have
your mother Southern?
Well, yeah. She had a very thick accent. Tig, I'm your mother.
Oh.
I'm your mother.
I'm your mother.
I'm your mother.
My mom calls me and leaves a message on my phone, and she goes, Cheryl, it's your mama. I'm like, okay.
Like you don't know.
She tells me every time.
Yeah.
It's your mom.
I think I've talked about this, but my stepfather signs his texts.
Oh, yeah. I love
and,
that he signs.
And dear Tig. Like, it might as well print out the texts and also mail them to me. Make a copy. Run off a copy of them.
And then send. And then call you to let you know
sure
that it
arrived.
It's on its way.
Yeah.
Okay, so listen, a lot of this stuff, you know what I did learn, and I actually didn't even realize it until now? Do you know the word Baphomet?
Mm-mm. No. I don't run in those circles.
Well, you just watched the same film that I did, and they kept talking about a Baphomet.
Right, I'm saying I just don't run in the circles that talk about that.
About Baphomets?
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess it's just another word for a statue.
I love that we don't know how to Google. We truly do not know how to do it. All of the information is at our fingertips.
I think deductive reasoning, I now think it's a statue. But maybe it
but
means
knows?
It's a religious statue? I don't know.
I mean, we're certainly not going to find out.
We're not going to raise the question. We're not going to look it up. And then when I'm at a party and I can't wait to say Baphomet. Oh, what if I'm at a party and I walk in and I see this statue of the woman's breast, and I say, "Oh, I like your Baphomet.
I like your Baphomets."
And then that person will be like, "I don't know you, and why are you at my house?" Okay, they end up a Little Rock. They were not having it. They were not going to be defeated by the Satanists. They put their
defeated by the Satanists today.
They put their Ten Commandment monument back up because they had taken it down, and then they put it up, and then somebody hit it with a car, and then they put it back up, and then the Satanists decided to just bring their Baphomet,
mm-hmm. whatever that is, two boobs.
with Satan and the horns, who was actually, I like that Satan was sitting, mm-hmm. sort of sitting on a throne,
yeah,
with his legs crossed at the ankles.
Uh-huh.
Did you find that weird?
I mean, among many things, that was not the glaring weird part of the documentary.
It just seems so odd. Like, that strange choice. First of all, I didn't ever think about Satan's legs or ankles. Or having legs. I don't know.
Or just having a pinky toe.
Anyway, he goes out and Lucian gives a speech at the rally. And by this time, they have like 50,000 followers.
Uh-huh.
And once again, the majority of the people are not people who, you know, dance around a fire and try to get...
What?
The devil to come join them.
By the way, 50,000 followers, more than we have.
And they are free-thinking people who feel like, oh, religion should not be involved in government.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line,
yes.
Would you say?
Yeah, I would say for sure.
It was fun to watch the protests and the counter-protests. So especially in this one, you had a counter-protest of the Christians that showed up. And I like that somebody held up a sign that said, "Honk against Satan."
Take that, so, Satan. Ouch.
So if you're driving
Ouch.
By, you could just give a honk. Yeah, and Satan's going to be...
A toot toot.
Satan's going to be down there with his pitchfork. Ah, oh, dang it. Another one.
Who tooted at me?
I mean, there were a lot of things that just, you
honk
know.
Honk against Satan.
Honk against Satan.
And
they're all and they're very earnest. All these people are very concerned.
Yeah. It was real fun to see that that Satan statue go up.
It was fun to see the Satan.
And see all the misfit toys cheering it on as it arrived.
The Baphomet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do like all the misfit toys. Mm-hmm. They're real cute and very supportive. And by the way, the people that are part of the Satanic Temple, they have gone on to do a lot of great community work.
Mm-hmm.
They clean up beaches.
Mm-hmm.
They picked up trash along the side of the highway with pitchforks sometimes. You know, just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
And it's all very kind and kind-hearted, mm-hmm. and none of it is at all mean-spirited or violent.
Right. They do not condone such behavior.
Yeah, they don't. And you see in the film that there was one woman, Jex.
Yeah, she went a little off the rails.
Who got a little too full of herself, mm-hmm. and yeah, she got kicked out of the Satanic Temple.
And then she was kind of proud of that.
Yeah, she wears it as a badge of honor.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Tig.
Yeah.
Are you ready for our final thoughts?
Yes, I am.
It is time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
I would be so mentally unstable if I was crying. But I would bet there's certain religious folk that would cry watching this.
I bet.
Mm-hmm.
Just the idea of somebody yelling, "Hail Satan," is enough to put
right.
some people right over the edge.
Yeah. Did you cry?
No, I did not cry either.
Yeah.
Okay. Who were you attracted to?
Jex.
Jex?
Mm-hmm. She's pretty.
She is pretty. Oh, interesting.
Why?
Well, I feel like her personality's not great.
Well,
we're not talking about person. We're just talking about the world's about to end. You're in an elevator and you have to make out with somebody.
Yeah, okay. And if it wasn't her, then Megyn Kelly.
Oh, my God. That is crazy balls.
So which do you approve of? Ooh. Megan or Jex?
I don't know.
We all know who you wanted.
Well, I did enjoy Lucian. I did. He's cute. He's articulate. He's smart. I love his glass eye.
Uh-huh.
Very drawn to it.
Who would you have thought I was? It seems like I really upset you.
Threw me for a loop.
Yeah, I threw you for two loops.
I mean, Jex makes sense.
Don't you think she's got nice features?
She does.
Yeah.
She does. I think it was just the last rally where she was...
Yeah, she went a little nuts.
She went off the rails. Yeah. Well, listen, so did Lucian. He put his balls on a gravestone. That's not great.
Yeah, I don't know why you think you're heading off into the sunset with Mr. Perfect here. Okay.
Okay.
So what? I end up in the end with an actual Satan worshiper.
So what? It's not a big deal. All right. Tig, would you like some true fan mail?
Of course. It's my favorite thing to read or to be read to.
Okay, Aaron W. has a question.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm sure I can handle this. Go ahead.
You said to let you know if I got to the end of the Mommy Dead and Dearest doc and didn't know what you were talking about with all the masturbation. So here's my email. I did not hear the word masturbation once, much less hear any references to it. What gives? What? Wait.
And you need to rewatch the movie.
I mean, wasn't yes. he charged?
Yes. It was real clear.
It was real clear that he was alone, naked.
Not naked.
In a McDonald's booth. Exposed.
Touching
himself.
Right, but that doesn't mean you're naked. It's not like he walked into McDonald's and stripped down.
Okay, it was not
you pictured him naked?
Well, I pictured his pants pulled down.
Okay. Well, that's not naked.
Did you picture his pants pulled down? I mean, I guess it is. It is a different visual if you walk into McDonald's and there's a naked
man.
Guy
yeah.
sitting there.
Yeah.
Aaron W. Is Aaron W. just like pulling our leg about this masturbation situation? Masturbation situation.
That rhymes, masturbation situation.
Well, hey, maybe we have a new mug. You guys, we love reading your messages and comments and reviews. Keep letting us know what you think about the docs and leave us a review.
What is that?
My wheel. Sometimes I have trouble with W's.
Yeah.
Oh, and R's. If there's an R and a W, one of our listeners figured it out. If there's an R and a W, then I have it.
I'm pressing
trouble.
Stop.
Oh my God. I can't breathe. Anyway, we might read it, your response. Oh, we might read it and then respond on the show. Oh, I can't. Okay, that's it.
Should we do it again? Should we do it again?
Yes. What happened? The wheels really came off.
We're still recording.
Oh, no, please, please. Oh, that hurts. Tig and Cheryl, True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Gabby Kovacic and Thomas Ouellette. Audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette with music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Patrick McDonald and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com. Thank you.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.